not easy. If we continue to promote free trade agreements and policies to allow our companies to leave, they're going to continue to leave. We live in a consuming nation today. There's not a lot of things that we buy that are made in America. If you go to Ace Hardware, most of the stuff is made from China and from other countries around the world. Buying our clothes, it's hard to find clothes that are made in America. So how do we bring those jobs back? Well, we can do one of two things. We can, the government can say, hey, we're not going to continue this push of internationalism, and we can change our trade agreements. Or if we don't want to trade our trade agreements, I believe that the Congress, if you had enough people there that were pro-Americans, they could create legislation that would help American companies rebuild new companies in America. So instead of having General Electric, who's left, and Ford, who's left, and other companies that have left our borders, now let's start funding new companies that will come up. And maybe we come up with a new car company. Maybe we come up with a new line of clothing. But we need to put people back to work here in America. If you look at, and I know, Sue, the things that I'm talking to you about, your listeners have not heard of. So I know it's overwhelming and it's a huge topic. But in the Charter of the Organization of American States, which was ratified in 1945, it talks about eliminating extreme poverty throughout the Western Hemisphere. And through NAFTA, you can see that the economy in Mexico is doing so much better since NAFTA. Now, I can't tell you the exact figures, but I can tell you that our economy is not doing as well as their economy right now. And that was based on an issue in the New York Times magazine about a year ago. So how do we get jobs back here? We as legislators have to promote American-made companies. We have to create trade agreements, or we just have to create, create funding for the establishment of new jobs that will compete internationally with other companies. So if one of our automakers wants to go and be the world's car maker throughout the world, fine, I have no problem with that. But let's be competitive. Let's start creating a whole new line of manufacturing companies here in America, for Americans, made by Americans. And let's see what that could do for our economy, and let's see how that can be competitive on the global market.
Gary Oxley, you seem to represent to me you seem to be manifesting the breakdown of the left-right spectrum, in a sense. And what I mean by that is, as I was reading through your website and as I was listening to you talking about nationalism versus international agreements, I thought, yeah, he's a pretty right-wing guy, right side of the political spectrum. But then as I hear you talking about almost American protectionism, that's not quite the right word, protectionism. This idea of protectionism, and I think, wait a minute, you are representing that blurry line between left and right. I mean, we think of you're either on the left or the right, but it's actually political ideology is a circle. And so you're not quite in either camp there. It's very interesting to hear you talk about that. Would you say you're a Republican or a Democrat or independent?
You know, Sue, 4 years ago I ran as an independent. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you knew that or not, but 4 years ago I ran as an independent, and I was blocked from attending certain debates because I was an independent candidate. So when I chose 4 years later to run again, I said, I'm not making that same mistake.
Right.
I can tell you, I don't want to digress from your question, so if I go too far away, you bring me back, please.
Okay.
I can tell you, I want to just tell your audience that Doug LaMoffa, you had mentioned that he did not answer your phone calls to come onto your show. Up in Shasta County, there were no organizations that put on a debate for the congressional candidates up in Shasta County. So I funded and put on and organized a congressional debate up in Shasta County on May 14th, called Mr. LaMoffa, left emails with him, even put a flyer on his office door, and he never returned any of our calls.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I? I am an American. I have a bloodline that goes back to the American Revolution. On my grandmother's side, we had a gentleman by the name of Samuel Burbank who fought at Bunker Hill. I love this country. The United States of America has made the world a great place to live, and we have been the beacon of freedom for since our creation. We are losing that, in my opinion. So am I a Republican or Democrat? I don't think I'm either one. I'm an American who wants to go to Congress and help create laws that will protect us as American citizens and at the same time work on the global work with our global neighbors. There's no need to have continuous conflicts of war over trade and things of that nature and geographical borders. So I don't know if that answers your question or not. My answer is that I'm an American first. I'm choosing to run on the Republican ticket because I think my views mirror more towards that party than the Democratic Party. But it's real. I need it to be real clear to your audience and other people that I'm an American first.
And so, Gary Oxley, here's my last question for you, and I got it right off of your website. And I appreciate your, I really appreciate your candor. I got it from your website. I thought it was very interesting, and you have a whole list of promises, and you say, my promise to you, this is one of many, very interesting. My promise to you is to promote the unity of our U.S. citizens. It's the security and strength of our nation. We need to stop the proliferation of political, religious, racial, sexual, economic, social, and other factions that threaten our unity. Where does that, what do you mean by that? Where do you think, what is threatening the unity?
Well, I think, first of all, I need to let you know where that is founded on. That is founded on George Washington's farewell address to the American people. And he talks about factions, and he talks about political factions. And Sue, these different factions separate us, and they keep us from communicating and coming together as a union. George Washington was really clear, and so was Abraham Lincoln. It's the union of our people that create us security. If we lose that union of our people, then the security of our nation and our people is threatened, because now we're going to break off into different factions. And at one point in time, according to these two presidents, you may have people that rise up and take those factions to a whole nother level, and now you've lost that unity and the strength of your country. So that's where that comes from. And that can go back in even to religion.
Well, it's interesting, because I do want to go into that, because I think it's very interesting. And one of the things, I mean, when we talk about John Hamilton, for example, in the Federalist Papers, he encouraged factions. He thought if you have a lot of factions, then that ensures that power is not consolidated by a small group of people. And so to have as many factions as possible would actually ensure that we preserve individual freedom. And so it's interesting that I didn't realize that George Washington had said that. But Gary Oxley, when I completely understand what you're saying, but one thing that I find curious is this idea of racial and sexual and economic and social factions. What do you mean by, for example, religious factions?
Well, I think one of the things, and this was that my belief system is based on what one of our Supreme Court justices, Joseph Story, taught. He was born in 1779 and died in 1845. And Sue, one of the things that our country has, when I'm 55 years old, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. And it was taught back then that families and friends don't discuss anything political or religious. And that's pretty much the thought at that time. I still think it's that way today. However, in reading this, Joseph Story wrote a two-volume set, and he made comments on each section of the Constitution. And in regards to religion, this is what he said, and of course I'm paraphrasing. He said that it's the duty of the government to promote the principles of Christianity, because it's those principles that will create a civil society. Now, he also goes on to expand that Christianity was the predominant religion throughout the colonies, and that there were also other religions at that time, but Christianity was the predominant one. And so when I'm talking about religious factions, I'm not so much talking about whether you're Judaism or Hinduism either, or any other major religious group. It's really focusing on the different sects of Christianity. And Joseph Story talks about the First Amendment and saying that the government should promote these things, but we're not going to tell people what sect of religion to attend, or we're not going to tell them what to believe. So they're taking principles that have been around for a long time and trying to encourage people to live by those principles. Because if you do, now you don't maybe need a law to, if nobody killed anybody, maybe we wouldn't have to be have so many laws and so many prisons, because people are practicing that particular principle of not killing somebody, and thievery, and don't steal. So factions can have power. You're absolutely right. So, but there's a danger in allowing those factions to control things. One of the issues that I have with the factions is where they're gaining their political force from today. And in these treaties, you can clearly see that that power and influence is coming from internationalism, not us as Americans. If us as Americans want to create laws and we agree on those things, then that's what needs to happen. And if the factions of different people, Sue, can create and help mold those laws, then I think we have a great system. So when we're talking about factions, it's not clearly defined, I don't think, according to how you were quoting it or stating it earlier. Am I losing you?
You're not losing me, okay. But we do need to wrap it up in a minute. Yeah.
All right. I hope that this is a very interesting subject, and I just want to share with your audience one thing. Marco Rubio and Robert Menendez in 2013 co-sponsored a bill called the Organization of American States Revitalization and Reform Act of 2013. When I found that law out, when I found what that law was, it was a four-page bill, and it clearly stated in there that the Congress was going to support three specific treaties and something called the Inter-American System, Human Rights System. And when you look at these treaties and read the treaties that are contained in that Inter-American Human Rights System, Sue, you can see where there is a very definite connection between immigration, the whole issue of LGBT, marijuana, freedom of religion, and so on and so on, based on that law that they passed. Now, the complete Senate, senators passed that bill by unanimous consent, meaning that if nobody objected to it, it passed. 383 members of the Congress passed that bill, including our Congressman Doug LaMalfa. He stated that that bill was trifle when I went and spoke to him in his office. He said that is trifle legislation. I said, did you read that bill? And he said, no. I said, did you read the treaties that were contained in that bill? And he said, no. It was at that point in time that I knew that I needed to run for Congress. If the people want me to go to Congress and help to preserve, protect, and defend our Constitution, that is what I will do. But we have right now bills that are being passed through Congress through bipartisan means that are changing the scope of what we do here in America. And I'm talking about our constitutional rights and our national sovereignty. So, that's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful, and it actually brings us full circle back to my original question. But why don't you tell us where people can find out more about your views and maybe even how they can contact you?
Sure. I'll give you my personal phone number. I'm just going to give you my personal one because it's easier than my political one.
Okay.
It's 530-782-2222. If you have any questions, please feel free to call me. On my Facebook page, at the top in the address bar, if you just type in GaryOxley.com, that will take you to my website. And then down at the bottom of the page is a Facebook emblem that they can click onto and see what I've put on there recently.
Gary Oxley, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate you even calling from work, from the emergency room. I hope you're not in the emergency room.
I'm not in the emergency room. I'm in my manager's office right now. So.
Great.
Sue, thank you. And I'd like to thank your listeners. And I hope that this encourages them to go and learn, because that's what this is all about.
And to vote.
And to vote, please.
Thank you so much. You have a good evening. Good luck on Tuesday.
Thank you, Sue. Have a nice night.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that brings us to the end of this edition of The Real Issue. It took a bit longer because we felt like the election issue was an important one, and because Wonka Radio isn't here, so I get to control this Wonka Radio tonight. So Wonka Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Downtown Chico Business Association, supporting downtown business for 40 years. The market takes place every Thursday night from 6 until 9 p.m. and features a bounty of farm fresh produce from certified farmers, locally prepared foods, handmade local arts and crafts, and live entertainment for all ages, celebrating 20 fruitful years in downtown Chico. For more information, visit downtownchico.com. We're gonna end this edition with this song, but I'm not going anywhere. We will be right back. You're listening right now to Wonka Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico. Are listening to Wonka Radio. I was asked to fill in for the next, only 15 minutes at this point. And I've always wanted to do this show, so maybe another point when I have much longer time, I'm going to do a show like this. And I was doing a road trip last summer, and I grabbed about 4 CDs. I have a funky little stereo in my car, and I only had a few CDs with me, and I started to think, I want to do a show where people just tell me a song that was important to them at some point in their life. And a lot of people sent some suggestions to me today, but let's start it out with, this is a song that was important to me right after I finished college. So here you go.
I'm broke, but I'm happy. I'm poor, but I'm kind. I'm short, but I'm healthy, yeah. I'm high, but I'm grounded. I'm sane, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm lost, but I'm hopeful, baby. And what it all comes down to is that every man's gotta be fine, fine, fine. 'Cause I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one is giving a high five. I feel drunk, but I'm sober.
Yeah, and that's Alanis Morissette. I have to say, as I listen to the words, that song is still true, because I haven't got it all figured out just yet. This other song is I'm playing for a very dear friend whose wiener dog, my dear friend Brian, whose wiener dog, she was coming to the end of her life, and they were saying goodbye, and they gave her a bowl of chocolate ice cream, one of her last meals. And so Brian said, this is a song that's really meaningful to him. So here you go. This is the Wood Brothers.
Thank you. Sitting on the front porch, ice cream in my hand, melting in the sun, all that chocolate on my tongue, and that's good enough reason to live. Good enough reason to live. Sitting in the bathtub, high five playing low, digging old Al Green. Well, you must know what I mean. Now that's good enough reason to live. Good enough reason to live. If I die young, at least I got some chocolate on my tongue. And if I die young, at least I got some chocolate on my good girl in my arms, smiling in my eyes, getting me all hypnotized. And that's good enough reason to live. Good enough reason to live. If I die young, at least I got some chocolate on my tongue. At least I got some chocolate on my tongue. And if I die young, at least I got some chocolate on my tongue.
And that's the Wood Brothers. The Wood Brothers are going to be at Sierra Nevada Brewery on June 27th. If you're smart, you'll get a ticket. It's going to sell out, and they are an amazing, it's the best show I ever saw at the Big Room with my buddy Brian. That song, of course, went out for Liza. We love Liza. And this very last one before I turn it over to Radio Radix is for my good buddy Jimmy, who says the reason he wants to play this song, he says, quote, "I know the love that I give becomes the love that I get." So I'll be back next week, 6 to 7 on The Real Issue, and we're going to turn it over. But until next time, peace out.
Raise my voice to the heavens, make a joyful sound.